Now, the State Department of Health Services reports that the number of vaccines given out last week went down compared to previous weeks. It's the first dip in weekly vaccination totals in about 2 months. Those numbers came after the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was put on hold because of concerns with a very rare blood clot issue. 28% of Wisconsinites have been fully vaccinated, but health officials in some parts of the state, including Appleton and La Crosse, say they've seen demand for appointments start to go down a little. And in other vaccine news, Pfizer says a booster for its shot may well be needed within the next 12 months. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and maybe your experiences. Have you been partly or fully vaccinated? How is the experience for you? Did you get a Johnson & Johnson appointment canceled last week? If you're still waiting to get a shot for one reason or another, what questions do you have? And if you are seeking a shot and having trouble finding it in a way that you can go, love to hear from you right now. What would help you get the shot you want? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. John Tempty is Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also Chair of the Wisconsin Council on Immunization Practices. Dr. Tempty, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Let's start with that small dip in our vaccination numbers here in the state last week, as many people, myself included, had appointments canceled for the Johnson & Johnson shot. Is that most of the story there for that dip in vaccine numbers?
I think it's most of the story, but not all of the story. Last week, I think we dropped about 80,000 doses across the state of Wisconsin compared to the week before. And just to put things into perspective, the week before, we administered almost 420,000 doses of vaccine. So the numbers are still really, really big. But the two things to keep in mind is the pause with the J&J is done out of an abundance of caution. Our principle is to make decisions that assure that we keep everybody as safe as possible. But it should be noted that we were starting to notice some decline in interest even before the announcement for the J&J vaccine. So, for example, at the University Health Services, we noticed that there were starting to be a little bit more time needed to fill all the slots available. And then I'm hearing now from my own health system, UW Health, that we're not filling all the slots at this point in time. So we're getting to the point where the supply is, to some extent, outstripping our demand.
Is that just because supply has gone up so much, or have we gotten the people who are really interested in getting that shot and who had the best access to it? Now we're going to have to work a little harder to get to everybody else?
We're going to have to work harder to get to everybody else. But I think, first of all, a lot of people have, you know, rolled up their sleeves, come in, and been vaccinated. We have had a tremendous amount of vaccine rolling out across the country, as many as over 4 million doses a day some days. So that's the good news. But we still have a ways to go as of yet to get us to the point where we're feeling real protected. And I really want to emphasize for those people out there who are at higher risk, so for example, older or with medical conditions, that it's really, really important to be vaccinated, especially now because we're starting to see people relax a little bit, you know, people congregating without masks on and so on. And this is really a risky time for those who are at risk for those bad consequences of COVID-19.
Now, age isn't the only risk factor, but that said, how are we doing in getting shots to people at those higher age groups, the people we know have had more adverse effects from getting COVID-19 itself?
Well, I think we're doing actually very, very well. And again, as you mentioned earlier, that across the state, about 41% of us have gotten at least one dose. And that's across all ages, including people who we don't even have vaccine for as of yet. So I think the good take-home message right now is if we look at the people who have received a dose of vaccine and the people who are likely to have already been infected, we're starting to get up into a majority of the state of Wisconsin. And that's really good news because what we need out there is immunity. We get immunity through vaccine, or we could have immunity less preferentially through right. becoming infected. But when we add those together, we're starting to get to the point where we might be able to really slow things down with this incredibly bad virus.
Talking to Dr. John Tempte from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health with the latest COVID-19 vaccination news. Might get into some of the variants out there as well. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about the vaccination drive and your experiences in seeking a vaccination for yourself and loved ones. Easy? Did it take a lot of work? Did you have to drive a lot to get there? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We heard from Elliot in New Lisbon who says, I was able to find appointments in Mauston at the Walgreens. Seems like there's still a lot of openings. And Dr. Tempte, I know a lot of people have, you know, searched around online to find that shot, been willing to drive an hour or two in some cases, maybe more, to get the shot. And I wonder about the people who don't have access to the internet or a vehicle or things like that. What do we need to do to make sure people who don't have that mobility, maybe that technological access, have opportunities to get shots?
Well, what we're really waiting for is the time that we start getting more and more vaccine in our primary care clinics. That has really not happened very much as of yet. We have had vaccine flow into pharmacies. And in fact, I was on a panel last night with a community pharmacist who's immunized, I believe, over 4,000 of his patients coming into the pharmacy. But so, you know, it really does bring out the disparity in terms of access to resources, transportation, and especially that computer savviness that, you know, my children are far better than I am at doing things. And in fact, I think it was my daughter who was able to get an appointment for my wife to get vaccine. And just being more likely to have the time and, you know, the persistence to get that. So I think we really have to work hard, but I'm really looking forward to having the vaccine becoming more abundant in our clinical, our regular clinical settings.
I want to look at some of the other news out there, Dr. Tempte. We are seeing hot spots, places like Michigan seeing big jumps in cases, often fueled by the newer variants that seem to be more transmissible. I know Ontario, right next door to Michigan, countries like India. We're not at a place where the risk of that kind of outbreak is gone, right? If I express that weirdly, but I think you get what I'm saying.
I get exactly what you're saying. And no, we're not out of that risk era yet. But when I take a look at the trends in Wisconsin, we had a little bit of a fourth wave come here, and the data now are indicating that we're coming down from that. So that's good news. When I take a look at Michigan and Illinois and Minnesota, they certainly did have these peaks, but they appear like they're starting to come down now as well. But as you mentioned, across the world, there are places that are really just starting to accelerate, and India is just incredibly bad right now in terms of the cases. Also, places like Brazil are just having so many cases and outstripping their medical capacities to take care of these patients.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Rosa is with us in Waterford. Rosa, hi.
Hello. Specifically the vaccine, I understand that the virus itself, the vaccine itself, it's not a vaccine in the conventional sense, where the virus is not weakened. This is actually a medicine because the mRNA, synthetic mRNA, is actually instructing your body to produce the spike protein. Excuse me, I'm driving right now. So my question to the doctor is, how much spike protein will be developed in the body with this mRNA instructing the body to create it? That's the question I have.
Rosa, thanks for the call. So I think she's talking about the mRNA vaccine. She mentioned the Pfizer and the Moderna. Can you talk a little bit about what Rosa had to say and how this works, Dr. Tempte?
Absolutely. Well, these are indeed true vaccines. They're just using a different mechanism than we've used before. But the whole idea with a vaccine is to get in what we call an antigen, which is a chemical produced usually on the surface of a bacteria or a virus. And we want to expose our body and basically our immune system to that typically a protein. And we can do that in a number of ways. We can provide a killed virus or a weakened virus. Sometimes we use just a part of that virus in a vaccine. So, for example, the shingles vaccine we're using now is just part of that virus. Or in the case of the mRNA vaccines, we're using the instructions, the blueprint for that protein, and providing that blueprint to our cells to make copies of that. The good news is that blueprint called RNA or ribonucleic acid does not get incorporated into our cells at all. It's used, and over the course of 1 or 2 days, it is degraded and goes away. But in the process, it makes millions or billions of copies of this spike protein that our immune system will use to respond to and produce those protective chemicals called antibodies through to ward off future infections.
Thanks for the question, Rosa. We're talking to Dr. John Tempte from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and chair of the Wisconsin Council on Immunization Practices. We're catching up on the latest vaccine numbers and news. You can call in at 800-642-1234. If you've gotten fully or partially vaccinated, how did it go for you? Was it easy to find a place to get the vaccine? Did you have to do some sleuthing and driving to get it? If you're providing vaccines yourself at your clinic, pharmacy, if you're volunteering at one of the sites around the state, love to hear what you're seeing out there. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Dr. John Tempte, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at COVID-19 vaccinations in the state and other vaccine-related news. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234 or your experiences seeking vaccines yourself, obtaining them, hopefully, if you're looking for them, or providing them. What are you seeing? Do you see a decline in demand? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back now to your calls. Barb is with us in Stevens Point. Barb, hi.
Hi. So my question today is, I have family and friends who are hesitant to get the COVID vaccines because they've been given emergency use approval. So I was wondering what more is needed for this vaccine to be given permanent approval. And then also, were other vaccines given emergency approval to start, i.e. like polio? Did that start out as emergency approval also? And I'll take the answer offline. Thank you.
Interesting questions, Barb. Thanks a lot. Dr. Tempte, what does it take to go from the current state of emergency approval to, I guess, just full-on normal approval?
That's a wonderful question, Barb. And with emergency use authorization, companies go ahead and provide information that show that the benefits greatly outweigh the risks. And it's a process used to accelerate the process. Now, the good news is that whereas the vaccines came along much, much quicker than we would have expected, they did not really scrimp at all on the safety determinations. And the reason that they were able to come along so very quickly is that for the effectiveness part of the clinical trials, they were able to accumulate data very, very quickly because they were collecting data during the time of this incredible outbreak we had in October and November. But to get to the full licensure, what a company has to do is apply for biologic licensing application or BLA. And I believe both Moderna and Pfizer have now applied for those. It's a lengthier process, but basically at this point in time, both companies have accumulated so much data on both the safety and the effectiveness of this vaccine in real-world situations. I would anticipate absolutely no problem with getting the full licensure out there. And with that licensure comes some additional things out there which are worthwhile. It comes with kind of that full endorsement. It comes with some added protections out there for recipients. And it makes people feel better about it. But the bottom line is I've had the privilege from early on, starting way back in May, being part of a work group at CDC looking at these vaccines. And as soon as I could get an appointment, I was there to get the vaccine because I've had a good understanding how incredibly safe and beneficial these vaccines are.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Samantha next in Sister Bay. Samantha, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Samantha?
So I was just listening. I'm actually on my way to get my second Pfizer shot right now. And, you know, well, I'm just listening. I guess the biggest obstacle, I live in the Northern Peninsula of Door County, is getting to a vaccination spot. So it takes anywhere, you know, between 45 minutes and an hour to get to the closest places that we can do that. And, you know, I work in the service industry part-time, and a lot of my friends are getting the vaccines as well. My husband and my brother actually drove 3 hours to get the Johnson & Johnson shot. But, yeah, I guess it was really easy once I was able to get signed up. It did take a couple of weeks for me to find an open spot because I was looking in March when everything just opened for service industry workers. But, yeah, it's just getting there, I guess, is our biggest obstacle up here because it is kind of a drive and taking the time off work to do so can be kind of difficult. But, you know, workplaces have been super supportive because they obviously want us to be vaccinated.
Fantastic. Samantha, thanks. I'm glad you're on your way to get your shot now. And Dr. Tempty, there's that access issue. I know there were mobile sites that are going around. I mean, maybe those showing up in places like Sister Bay would help save a whole lot of driving for people and a whole lot of hunting.
And the response I have there is absolutely that it's beneficial, but Wisconsin's a big state, and there's a limited number of those mobile stations that are deployed. But also, I think when I was listening in before coming aboard during the news clip, there was talk, was listening to President Biden talk about, you know, providing workers the ability to get vaccinated without having any consequences in terms of their employers. And in the middle of a global pandemic, I think that's a very, very wise thing to do. We really want to get people protected. We want to have businesses not only have their employees protected, but protect their customers as well. So I'm very, very glad that Samantha is en route and also glad that she's getting her second vaccine at this point in time.
And Samantha, I'm glad we can keep you company on the drive there and back for the vaccine. Thanks for calling in. Let's go next to Jim with us in Baraboo. Jim, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Hope everyone is doing well. I just want to encourage any veterans to go ahead and contact the VA. I was fortunate in that I didn't even have to search for an appointment. The VA actually called me and immediately scheduled. I got in within a week. And I've already had my second shot over a month ago, and I've had absolutely no side effects from those vaccinations. On the flip side, my sister has actually had the COVID virus twice. And even though she has had, I guess you could say, a natural immunity from having had the illness, she still went ahead and got her vaccinations. And I just want to encourage anybody that is wondering whether they should do it or not, just do whatever it takes. Go out, take care of it, get it done.
Jim, thank you so much. I'm glad the experience went well for you. I want to talk about Jim's sister, Dr. Tempty. I understand the recommendation is yes, even if you've already had COVID-19 itself, it's still worthwhile to get the vaccine. Do I have that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have some data from studies now coming out that show that people who have been infected and followed throughout time, still have about a 20% chance of reinfection. This is a study coming out of Denmark where they have really, really good data on the whole population. But so there's still a risk. The vaccines can help take that risk for infection down to perhaps 5% or thereabouts. So that really is a benefit. We do know, however, that people who have been previously infected may have a stronger response to the vaccine, so might become a little more achy, a little more sore arm or febrile for a few hours with that vaccine. But again, the benefits really greatly outweigh any risks out there for the vaccine. So we encourage anybody, whether they've had COVID-19 or not, to get the vaccine.
Thanks for that call. And Dr. Tempty, I like to run things by you when I see a headline and I'm not sure how big a deal it is. I've seen some anecdotal stuff that says people who have this long haul COVID, they've had COVID, they're having weird after effects from it. Some stories suggesting that the vaccine is, after they get the vaccine, they're doing better with those long haul symptoms. Have you seen anything? Do we have enough information to know if that's the real deal?
I don't think we have enough information at this point in time to make a proclamation that anybody with long haul or the long COVID should be vaccinated for a treatment. But I think there's going to be a lot of interest in the potential immunologic therapies for long haul. But you bring up an important point. You know, I think in the wake of this pandemic, we're going to be dealing with an awful lot of hurt out there. You know, there was just a report out yesterday that somewhere around 40,000 children in this country have lost a parent, and the long-term consequences of that are significant. These are kids who have lost a parent to COVID. They're, you know, across the medical sector, the burnout of nurses and physicians taking care of patients, all the other workers in healthcare settings, and then all the delayed and deferred medical care that people have gone through over the past year. So there's so much that we have to be looking at, you know, coming out of this pandemic that we're all going to have to work together to get out of this.
Dr. Tempty, thanks again for joining us today.
And thank you so much, Rob. Take care now.
Dr. Jonathan Tempty is Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us for a look at the latest on COVID-19 vaccinations.